This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day it is to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you. If you are here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream, we're so glad that the Spirit of Christ unites us in this hour of worship. I want to invite you to take a moment to sign in. I know we have some folks who are visiting with us today. We're so glad that you're here. If you are in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad at the end of each row, and you can pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser that will take you to our Register Your Attendance page. And while we are welcoming one another, I want to take a moment to welcome Reverend Will McLean, who has joined our staff as the pastor of spiritual formation. And we were just talking about how it feels so natural to have him here among us. He and his wife, Kate, have just moved here from Raleigh with their daughters, Annie and Emily, and they're not even in their house yet. So he's come to us amidst boxes and all of that, but really wanted to be with us this morning. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to greet people this morning.
Thank you. Friends, we are so grateful that God has called us to be in ministry with West End for years to come. We're so grateful to learn from you in these early seasons and to discover all the beautiful things that God is already doing in your midst. And we can't wait to dream anew for the things that God will call us to do in days to come. But it is truly the privilege of a lifetime, and it's going to be the adventure of a lifetime to do ministry with you.
We're thrilled to have you join us on the journey. I'm going to ask Will to stand at this door at the end of the service so you can greet him through that exit. But we'll have a reception next Sunday during the Sunday school hour with him and Kate and Annie and Emily, and really give a chance to celebrate with them next Sunday at 9:45. So on to a few announcements that we have this morning. The church will be closed on Tuesday for Independence Day. Next Sunday, we'll have a one-class new member class. Reverend Shannon Baxter is giving this a try. So if you've been thinking about, praying about, perhaps becoming officially a member of the church, that class will be next Sunday at 9:45 upstairs in the fourth story theater. And we hope that many of you will consider doing that. Then a couple of days later, on the 18th, we have our church-wide outing to the Sounds baseball game. There should be information in your bulletin insert about how to purchase tickets for that. I was telling someone, I actually love to watch baseball, but I spend my whole time talking to people. So it's a great way to fellowship and get to know some new folks as part of this congregation. And finally this morning, I just want to celebrate part of our history together. Our own beloved church member, Sally Honor, composed the music that we sing for communion. Every time we gather at the table for communion, it is her music that we are singing. And this marks the 40th year that this congregation has been singing the liturgy of Sally Honor as part of communion. So I just want to celebrate that. And I know Sally is joining us over live stream today. And I just want to give thanks to God for her gifts and for the way that she has given communion a melody in our hearts. So if you have a minute to write her a note or send her an email and give thanks to God for her ministry. We do gather at the table this morning together, and we enter into a season where we'll be hearing from the prophets of old. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear the word of God through the prophet Isaiah this morning.
Oh,
please join me in our call to worship as found in your bulletin. God of the new heavens and new earth, we will delight in your new creation. May the day come when tears turn to laughter. May the day come when we will no longer toil in vain. God of the lion and the lamb, we look forward to the day when all shall live together in peace. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our silent confessions. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Friends, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to make signs of peace and reconciliation to those around you and those of you who are worshiping online to share a word of peace in our chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 65, verses 7 through 22 and 25. the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord of Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating. For I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years shall be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come and share a moment with me. If you're here in the sanctuary and want to join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a special minute or two together. Oh, sorry, yes, it's Communion Sunday, so this is closed up. We have to go around this way. I forgot too. Come on around. Welcome. So glad y'all are here on this holiday weekend. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. Get my tippy toes. And good morning to those of you who are worshiping online. I want to show you something that I brought from my house. This is actually a candle holder. It doesn't look like a candle holder, does it? But you put it on the table, and then you put a candle in the middle. And what does it look like? Can you see a crowd? There's people holding hands. It does look kind of like a crown, doesn't it? But it's actually people kind of putting their arms around each other. And it makes me think about everybody loving each other and being kind to each other and how we're all connected to each other. You know, in our church, we talk a lot about how God loves everyone and how we're called to love everyone. And this is just one of those things that reminds me of how much we all share and how alike we are and how we're called to love and be one together. Sometimes we need things like this to look at and imagine. Imagine what it was like if the whole world loved each other and there was peace and we treated everybody with kindness. It's not always that way, you know, but as people of God, we get to imagine it and pray for it and do everything we can to work for it. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for those reminders, those pictures we can see, those words that we hear that remind us that all of us are together that you love all of us and you want us to live in peace. Help us to be people of peace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Mr. David, who is actually my husband. So tell him I said hello. And if you're older than that, you can return to seats with parents or friends or grandparents. Almost exactly 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Uganda as part of a mission team from several churches, several United Methodist churches, who were taking part in building up a school there in a little village called Wasandegu. My friend and colleague, David Sebelime, had started this school when he was living in Uganda, and he and his wife had started a nonprofit here and were doing everything they could to build up the school. So a team of us went. Some of us went to do vacation Bible school with the children. Others of us went to do a medical clinic on the campus. And others of us were there to meet with the adults and do some teaching and training and Bible study together. The school was still pretty young at that point. And I remember one of the school's leaders took us out to the field beyond the classroom building and showed us what their plans were, what their dreams and hopes were, that they would be able to build a dormitory for some of the kids who would really be better off living at the school. They wanted to build a dining hall, and one day they wanted to build a high school so that some of these younger kids, as they aged out of the school, would still have a place to go to school. And so he invited us to close our eyes and to envision it, and to be praying for it and doing what we could to participate in the realization of that dream. Well, I saw my friend David Sebelime at annual conference, and he is in Uganda right now. And the student that we sponsor is now in high school. And now there's a high school building, and now there's a dormitory where she and other students live, and they're still living into this dream and learning how to be a faithful part of that community on behalf of all the families there. Sometimes it helps to have a visual out in front of us, something we can see in our mind's eye and pray for and work toward. This is Independence Day weekend. I see many of you are wearing your red, white, and blue. And on Tuesday, we'll be celebrating the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I took some time this week to read it over again and never cease to be moved by the opening words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, when Thomas Jefferson penned those words, it was a revolutionary thing to do, to send it to the King of England. He was in many ways breaking new ground and helping to start a new nation with this principle. But as we look back on history, we realize that when Thomas Jefferson wrote these words, he was a product of his own time, and he didn't mean all people. He was thinking all men, all white men of European descent with property. Those were the citizens of the United States. So it was not quite the full realization where we are now. It's taken time and work. When the 14th Amendment was passed in the 1860s, suddenly all men became all men, were citizens of the, who were citizens of the United States, could vote. It wasn't until 1920 that that came to include all women as well over the age of 18. And so we've seen that vision expand and grow as we've grown into it. When I was in Memphis for annual conference, we went to the Civil Rights Museum, and there was a screen displaying Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, where he held out this phrase, "We are a nation built on the belief that all men are created equal," and yet he was willing to point out how we had fallen short with our Jim Crow laws and segregation and voting tests and grandfather clauses and poll taxes that were keeping some people from being able to vote. And so he and others have helped move us toward a greater and broader realization of this belief that all people are created equal. That's one of our beliefs as a congregation, as people of God. We put it this way, that God loves everyone unconditionally. And this should be a place where everybody is welcome, all people. And we still live into that and learn and struggle how to live into that. So one of the things that the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures do for us is they put before us a picture, a dream, a vision of what we are moving toward as the people of God. Of course, the prophets of old are moving us beyond national boundaries, beyond specifics of our historical moment, to the greater dream of God for all time and all people. And this morning, we hear that dream through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Now, we're going to be making our way through the prophets all summer. Isaiah comes first because Isaiah is the longest book. The prophets are ordered according to how long the book is. There's no secret to that. But Isaiah is 66 chapters long. And most biblical scholars will tell us that Isaiah is probably not one person speaking, but a collection of prophecies and oracles collected over a couple of centuries and put together as one work and placed in the mouth of Isaiah for us. And so what I've chosen this morning is a text from the beginning, chapter 2, and a text from the end of the book of Isaiah. And these were likely people of God speaking into different moments of history and yet giving us a vision for all time. Now, the prophets, Isaiah included, had many different kinds of words to offer to the people depending on what was happening in the moment. Sometimes, oftentimes, if you've been reading Isaiah, you've been reading a lot of judgment. The prophet Isaiah announcing that the people of God have been unfaithful to God, that they are worshiping other gods, that they are putting their faith in political leaders rather than in God, that they are turning their backs on God. And so there's judgment and there's warning. The consequences are coming. But then we get to the middle of Isaiah, which many scholars would place at the moment when the Babylonian armies had been through Jerusalem, destroying the temple and the walls of the city. And the prophet speaks comfort. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. And then here at the end, again, putting before the people who God is calling them to be, a word of hope. And I wanted to land on the word of hope this morning, because I think we are living in a time and a place where we need hope. We need to be people of hope. We need to be those who are not dragged down the algorithms of social media to places of despair and giving up. We don't need to be those who look around and feel all the time like, well, there's no hope. We're moving backwards. There's nothing left to do. We need to be people of God who are people of hope. And to look not to our own vision, but to the vision of God and what God is doing in our midst. And I hear these words and I see these visions of Isaiah, as ancient as they are, spoken to a people thousands of years ago, as still speaking to us. So what are these visions of hope that the prophet offers us this morning? If you want to, you can close your eyes and imagine it. The second chapter, the prophet describes the mountain of the Lord. It's the highest mountain of them all, and all the nations of the earth are making their way up the mountain, are seeking instruction from the Lord. The hearts of all people are open to learn of God's ways and God's wisdom. And so you can see all the nations of the earth surrounding the mountain of the Lord. And then the prophet says they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All of the weapons of war turned against one another are turned into gardening implements. And instead of pointing our weapons at each other, we are planting and tilling the soil to bring about nourishment for one another. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? Can you hope for it? We get to the end of the prophet Isaiah. After the people of Israel and Judah have been through so much up and down, and the prophet speaks again and says, I am about to do, says the Lord, a new thing. I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. God is about to renew the earth, the world. This isn't about heaven. This is about the world, the earth, this place where we live and walk and move. I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. And God will take delight in this new Jerusalem. Nowhere in this place will there be an infant who lives but a few days. No more infant mortality. There will be no one who lives less than 100 years. Everyone will be healthy and whole and have good health and good health care all through their lives. There'll be, as I've said more recently, no more cancer, no more COVID, no more disease. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. People won't hurt each other anymore, but they will be united as one in humility, recognizing our place as one nation among many, living in peace with one another, not pointing our swords, our guns at one another. Can you see it? Can you believe in it? Can you hope for it? The truth is, my friends, we cannot make this happen on our own. This is God's work and God's doing. And yet, as the people of God, God chooses to partner with us to help bring it to fruition. So as we ponder these visions, these images, these words of the prophet, we let them soak into our own lives and shape how we live every day. How we act in the world, how we treat one another, how we talk about politics, how we dream and hope. There's one final vision that comes before us today, and it's this one, the table, the one that Jesus offers to us in his own life, on the night that he gave himself up for us. This is a table where everyone is welcome. And I picture a round table. There's no rank or hierarchy. The newest person at the table belongs just as much as the person who's been here the longest. And we all come to receive God's grace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as we allow these words of Isaiah to sink in, to shape our living, as we come to the table today and find that we are welcomed and received as we are, let us make room for one another and let us celebrate our deep oneness and the peace that only Christ can give. Amen.
Please stand and join with me in the reading of the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team throughout the week to be prayed for, please follow the link under the Contact Us on our website, where you can grab the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you and place it in the offering plates as they are passed. I want to point your attention to the prayer list and the bulletin insert today. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. Our prayers are with Jeff and Erwin Fisher, with the passing of Jeff's father, John Thomas Buddy Fisher Jr. He passed away Friday, June 30th, at the age of 95. We lift up the family and friends of Daryl Wayne Buddy Smith, who passed away on June 7th. A celebration of life is being planned for a date in the fall. And please keep Sean, Sarah, and Remy Kennedy in your prayers as they mourn the death of Sean's father, Jack Allen Kennedy, who passed away on June 11th in Globe, Arizona. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. God, we gather today to celebrate your work in our lives and your work in our world. There isn't a place that we can go where the creativity of your love has not left its mark. Your love is undeniable, and the grace that flows from that love draws all things to it, filling every seemingly empty space. We pray that our hearts would be filled with that grace and love, only to be redirected to our family, our friends, our coworkers, the grocery store clerk, the waiter, the patient, and all others we share our lives with. If we know that those interactions where we allow you to overthrow through us your peace, your shalom, your beloved community comes more into focus. And through your Spirit, let us be a part of the work of redemption you are doing amongst us. We offer ourselves to you as co-laborers, as stakeholders in your kingdom, who desire for you to be known and for hearts to be warmed and filled by knowing your presence. In the spirit of joining with your work, we now offer up to you those places we sense a need for your action. We sense a need for people to know how close you are, where we sense a need for your perspective and peace. We lift our concerns and our joys to you, trusting in the change you are bringing about. Lord, as we enter this time of Holy Communion, bring us together as one people. As we share this bread and juice, may our hearts be strangely warmed with the realization that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you call us to live lives drawing the world to your peaceable kingdom. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on us gathered together, and on these gifts of bread and the cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. The children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Family in Christ, as many, many grains are gathered together into one loaf, we who are many are gathered together in one body. This is the body of Christ. It has been broken and given to us all. And as the many grapes are gathered from the vine and are together in one cup, so we are one in Christ as we drink this cup, the cup of grace poured out for all. The table is set. The invitations have been sent out from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for it is he who is our host, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. This is not the table of this church or of the United Methodist Church. It is Christ's table, and each one of us is welcome here. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, I'll offer just a few words to help you along the way. We will be gathering at the altar rails as you're able. We'll kneel there to receive communion. Our choir will receive first, and then those of you in the transepts and balcony are welcome to begin making your way forward for the altar rails. And then the rest of us in the main area of the sanctuary are invited to come. And wherever there's an open space at the altar rail, feel free to take that. And these rails go all the way down the sides as well. All of our elements are gluten-free. If you are unable or would rather not come forward for communion, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with these elements that are prepackaged and will be happy to serve you in your seats. As always, when we come forward, there's an opportunity to give a second mile offering to one of our mission partners. And June's communion offering this month goes to support the work of 50 Forward. 50 Forward is the leading resource for adults 50 and older in Middle Tennessee who seek to live longer, more fulfilling lives. Specifically, this money will go to support their supportive care continuum, helping older adults meet basic needs, as 85% of their clients are at or below 200% of the federal poverty line. So let us remember these friends as we come forward to the table this morning. My friends, this is the heavenly feast. It is yours. It is mine. It is everyone's. have just received, the prayer after receiving printed in your bulletins. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts. After hearing the words of Isaiah and singing together the words of this hymn, our final word is, may it be so. Amen.
Thank you.